Just want to briefly recap some of what our speakers mentioned and some of what Pascal mentioned. Just so we get a show of hands, how many of you out there have worked on some sort of evaluation activities? So a lot. So a lot of you are familiar with this sort of stuff. And then how many of you are not at a state or local health department? Just a couple. Okay. So a lot of stuff that we're sort of mentioning is relevant to our grantees at state and local health departments, but you know, you can take away some of the other ideas also. Excuse me. First, I want to talk a little bit about our goals at CDC for our grantees for this new evaluation activity. Our long-term goal is to enable our grantees to ideally incorporate evaluation into all the activities they conduct. And to sort of, since, you know, it's just a new requirement, our short-term goals include increasing knowledge about evaluation among our grantees, providing grantees with tools and materials to help them do that, and then to provide ongoing technical assistance as they plan and conduct their evaluations. As you may know, grantees are required to submit an evaluation plan August of 2008. So that's sort of coming up. And then once grantees do that, we're hoping to provide you feedback and then go forth and conduct your evaluations. And hopefully, you know, we can work with you along the way for the planning on the implementation phases. Sort of. Forgot to pull that up. As far as stakeholders are concerned, we want to encourage grantees to collaborate with stakeholders throughout the evaluation, from planning to implementation. And as part of your evaluation plans that you submit in 08, you'll have to report back to us on your stakeholder engagement. So we're hoping that at this point, grantees have started working on that process. I think the importance of stakeholder involvement will make it more likely that the findings of your evaluation will be accepted and utilized. So if you don't include folks who have to implement or make decisions on what gets implemented at the start of this evaluation, it's likely, or it could happen that the findings may not be utilized, and then it's sort of a report that sits on a desk and doesn't get utilized. And then a little bit about choosing stakeholders. We're not expecting grantees to, gather a large number of folks to sit down at a table, because we understand that would be a difficult and daunting process. But to carefully choose people that, like I said, would be decision makers or implementers of your findings. And then I wanted to just say that Rhode Island's advisory group, I think that was a great idea, where, you know, you can start with identifying all the main key stakeholders at the beginning and work with them throughout. And I think if, you know, your activity or your plan lends itself to that, that would be a great thing. On to logic models. I think regardless of whether you're able to draw the boxes and the lines connecting them, or, you know, if you haven't worked with them, you decide to list your inputs, outputs, and outcomes into columns and start that way. I think what you're really doing is spelling out on paper the activities that you do and the outcomes that you're expecting as a result of those activities. And I think the importance of spelling it out on paper is that, like Pascal said, is that everybody is on the same page. People at your program, your team at the program, as well as your stakeholders, because we did hear about a few examples where, you know, once you put it down on paper, everybody thinks, well, no, I thought this was supposed to do this and not this. So I think if you do that at the beginning, everybody's on the same page, and then you won't have those potential conflicts at the latter end. About processes and outcomes, we're hoping that grantees, like Pascal said, you know, we're hoping that you'll really focus on the process end and a little bit on the outcome end also, but I think we're all naturally drawn to this, you know, change in vaccination coverage. That's where all of us sort of work in the field, and that's what we want to see, but we're hoping that grantees will really look at the process side of the equation. And we want you to look for answers of, you know, why not, how. That's sort of at the heart of conducting the evaluation, is to figure out why something ran smoothly or why something didn't run smoothly. And then the answers to those questions can help you improve the activities that you're conducting. And I think this is the ultimate reason we're hoping that grantees will, you know, take to evaluation and incorporate it into all their activities. And I want to end just with this resource slide. I hope you guys have heard about the immunization program evaluation website that's up and running. It's been about 2 months, and it has resources specific to our grantees, so it may not be applicable to non-grantees, but we have a guide to immunization program evaluation. We have a template for the evaluation plan that you will submit to us in August, and some other materials and links to evaluation resources from other programs at CDC who have been doing evaluation for a long time, like TB and STDs. And if you have any questions or comments for us, or that we have a work group at Immunization Services Division, you can contact us via your project officers, or you can email us at ipe@cdc.gov with any questions or comments, and we'd be happy to get back in touch with you and you know, help you out along your process. And I just sort of had a couple of questions for both of our speakers. I think it's great that Washington has this top-down support. And I was just wondering, in states where there isn't a governor that has this focus on improvement and evaluation, do you have suggestions on what they might do to sort of either foster that in their own little environment or maybe take it up a little bit?
I do. We haven't in Washington. We didn't always have. I've been with the State Department of Health for 15 years, and the previous two governors, in my experience there, did not have the level of interest in program evaluation and accountability that our current governor has. So, but even prior to our current governor, we were doing program evaluation and demonstrating success. And, you know, that, you know, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, it was at a time when we had to convince people that an immunization registry was a good thing and you didn't need to be scared of it and it actually would help people and that we could make improvements. So I think that if you just start doing it, just, you know, develop your logic model, your so that chain, start demonstrating results, start demonstrating a capacity to look critically at what you're doing and how effective it is, and then show how you're going to make improvements to what you do, people listen. You know, I think everybody, I always love it to watch the crowd when we get to the point where the percentages are up or the graphs are up. That's when people sit up a little higher in their chair and they start looking at what's going on. I think it makes a difference, even if you don't have a framework from your agency or you don't have what you feel like is support. If you start doing it and you start modeling that behavior, that ability, you're going to realize really quickly that people pay attention and actually start seeking your advice for how they can do it in their programs.
Just one other quick question for you, Virginia. I forget, from your 900 providers that you contacted, what percent was it that actually ended up enrolling?
Approximately 50%, given that a couple of the addresses we sent enrollment.
Oh, sorry. Right
there.
Of the 900 packets that we sent out, we got about 85 back as undeliverable, so taking that 900 minus 85 is your N, we got about 50% of adult providers who enrolled in the program.
And I guess, so the reason I asked was, is there, I don't know if you mentioned, is there a plan to look at that piece of it to see how you can improve enrollment, or did you guys have your hands full then?
We had our hands full. Yes, we definitely did. No, actually, something that happened this year, we were a couple of months ago, we are now allowing pharmacists to immunize. So we're intending on bringing them into the fold as a complementary venue for giving flu shots. And we are going to, we have since, because again, I think it has to do with the fact that we're not very large, you can still use word of mouth to get the word out about the program, and there are other people that have called who intend on enrolling next year. We also, there's been some work done on the public health registry, and we're going to be able to use that to catch some other providers who we didn't heretofore.
Thank you. Any other questions for Virginia or for Suchita I want to congratulate Virginia on all the, you know, different pieces that you looked at as you were doing, you know, this part of the evaluation. And, you know, I know it's been a momentous task.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
Wendy from San Diego. And we do quite a bit of program processing evaluation, outcome evaluation. One challenging area, I feel like we have a good group of health educators. They go out counseling to the community to do the health fair and outreach to the church or community event to educate the parents. And what kind of evaluation data we need to collect? You know, be collecting, you know, how many brochures they distributed, how many parents did they talk to? And I just feel like it's not enough. We should evaluate the effectiveness of those, you know, health fair or those events they go to. What is the effectiveness?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think those are tough things to sort out, among the harder ones. So I guess, you know, you could ask a number of questions. I mean, the things you're mentioning, like how many brochures were handed out, that's really just measuring outputs, which is useful, but I guess other things that you would want to find out that would require additional work potentially is whether people found that the information that they got was useful or not, whether they used it in some way. So take it some step further. You know, so it kind of comes back to drawing out this logic model and articulating, well, we have health fairs for this, that, and the other reason, and we want this to happen, and that, so that, and then being able to look at specific outcomes. And I'm not doing a very good job on the spur of the moment coming up with a good answer for you. But I think that one of the challenges is that in opposition to just counting how many brochures were handed out, et cetera, these additional things may require doing some extra work, like talking to people. And it doesn't have to be, you know, what we usually conceive of as an appropriate sample for a scientific study. It could be a convenient sample of people who were at the fair to get a sense of, you know, the appropriateness of the materials, for example, and whether in some sense they felt that it would motivate them to do something different. But it's hard to find a direct link between a health fair and change in behaviors. And I think that may be something that's not necessarily always a reasonable thing to try to do. And you can settle for something less ambitious, but that is the result of what you're trying to accomplish with that activity. So I think just generally, you know, issues around evaluating media efforts, educational efforts are hard, but just to touch on another example, let's say that you're doing a media campaign, and oftentimes people say, well, we'd like to see how this media campaign is affecting our immunization rates. Well, that is probably simply not a reasonable question to ask, because there are a million things that are affecting your immunization rate in one direction or another. But you would want to know whether people, A, heard your message. Did the people who heard your message, were they the people you wanted to hear your message? Were they part of your target demographic? And if they heard the message, did they think that it was appropriately formulated for whatever group they are? Those are all reasonable questions that can be answered. But trying to link it to a change in vaccination rate really isn't a reasonable question. Yes. Any other questions? Well, I have a feeling we're going to be hearing more about Rhode Island's project over time as they get past year one, because one thing I'm not sure if everybody understood what's going on here is the state is basically purchasing vaccine up front and giving it to providers, and you elaborated on that at the end, but this is something that's a pretty novel approach, and we're interested in seeing how much of a difference that makes. And all of this evaluation is going to be very helpful.